Simon to give me three ways in which these various mundane everyday activities can be turned into Avodas Hashem by thinking about it in different ways. Okay, let's go around the room and let's give everybody an assignment. Okay, Shimshon, what do you want to have as your topic? So you can give us three ways of everyday activities can become a service for Hashem. Getting dressed in the morning, we already did making the bed. How about getting dressed in the morning? Okay, Shimshon will talk about you talk about putting on your shoes and socks. Right, that's right. You make one bracha, but it's okay, but we want more than just a blessing. Okay. Shimshon will talk about putting on shoes and socks. Yoni, you'll explain how you can serve Hashem when you put on your shirt. Okay, Matan, you put on your pants, how you serve Hashem. Okay, Ellie, you'll explain how you serve Hashem three different ways when you eat breakfast. Okay, now. Okay, Shmuel is going to say, how the doing homework can serve Hashem three different ways. Okay. Misha, what do you want to talk about?
Opening Word.
Alright. You'll talk about turning lights on and off. How does a person, when he turns lights on and off, serve Hashem? Three different ways. It should be a way of serving Hashem, of being a person closer to Hashem, think about Hashem. Okay, lights on and off. Okay, Shimshon, what do you want to take? Okay. All right, starting a car, getting into your car and starting the car. There are three ways that you can remind you and get you involved in the deeper service of Hashem. Okay, next. Evan, since you're a waiter, give me three ways how being a waiter can serve Hashem. By doing the act of being a waiter at a table, how that's the three ways that a person can serve Hashem. Okay, next, Yaakov, give me, Yaakov is into electronics. Okay, give me three ways how watching TV can serve Hashem. Okay, since you're an expert in TV. Next, second Yaakov, give me three ways how, working a computer, turning your computer on and off, can serve Hashem. Alright, next. Noach is into Bikur Cholim. Okay, Noach, give me three ways how visiting sick people can serve Hashem. Okay, that's good. Chaim, what do you want to talk about? You don't know? Okay, give me three ways how getting on a bus or a train to go home is serving Hashem.
You go home?
Go home. You go home to see your parents. Give me three ways how is that serving Hashem. And next, Bo. Okay, Bo. You come from where?
Los Angeles.
Okay, great. Give me three ways how living in Los Angeles can serve Hashem. Okay, that's right. That's why I gave it to you.
Living in South Central.
Specifically Los Angeles. How that serves Hashem. Okay, Jacob? You're from Philadelphia, right?
Chicago.
Or Chicago. Okay, give me three ways how living in Chicago serves Hashem. Okay.
Who's the cab driver? Who's the cabbie?
Okay.
I do have learning.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's very good. Since Jacob is a Greek major. Jacob will give us three ways how studying Chochma Yevanis, how studying Greek culture can help us serve Hashem, how you would serve Hashem by that. Okay, next. Next, huh? Jonathan. Okay, John. You have a topic?
No, I don't think you should pick one. John, what's your major?
Huh?
John is interviewing for jobs.
Okay, John, how does going to job interviews, three ways to serve Hashem by going to a job interview? That's good. And Yoni? You want to give us three ways how being married helps a person serve Hashem? Yoni's married, so he can talk about it. Okay, both sides. We'll start tomorrow. Every day we'll have
a project.
four people a day we'll talk about this, okay? We'll see. To show how we can serve Hashem, every second, whatever we do, can be a way of being us closer to God. Yes?
I was in Rabbi Gross' conceded class last semester, and a lot of the students, they talked about not as in like, how does it help you serve Hashem, but like, actually the thing that you're doing is a service to God, that it doesn't need to have like some sort of secondary element like leading to a mitzvah, but like how just literally like eating your oatmeal or something is the service of God, and that's like fulfilling the kodesh kodesh. Like, is that?
Well, that would be. I think that would. First of all, I think that primarily that would be based upon things that we're going to be talking about. In other words, when you do, when a person does activity X, mentally, it means more than what it looks like. In other words, he's doing something mentally to that activity, which is more than the surface meaning of that activity. So, making the bed is more by bringing to it that the spiritual dimensions, and then it means that action itself becomes then the service. But it begins with these undertones, overtones, and then it gets into the act itself. Okay, that's excellent, Rabotai. This is very exciting. Okay, listen, I'm sure there's going to be a tremendous insight for us when we hear the various people and what they're going to say about their different activities. Yeah, we're going to start Chazara now. Just finish the paragraph. U'pashizu hitora shalema tarasa shal Yaakov ech shekbi etkol inyoni ha-reshushalo Hashem Yisbarach v'ni ha-makol Torah. Shatom is a parrot, the process of Kolmasov. The Torah tells in great detail everything Yaakov did. We call Prat to Prat, and then Yonah have a Shushalo. All these everyday activities, Nia Chelik and Torah is a part of the Torah. Shebechol Zed, Timunim, and Yonim, Nizgavim, Lamala, Mikol Hasaga, Vishirosh, Akabalim, Mumazim, Vipash, Azush, Lakudim, Kudim, and Vudim, and there's all kinds of Kabbalistic things going on in this Pasha. The Zohar Kodesh, Isa, Al-Viyafat, Ben Tzolos. The Zohar says, for example, when he peeled the sticks in order for the sheep to look at them, who saw that tefillin has something to do with the secret of tefillin. Shem Niskanu B'zem, Madregos, Agluas, B'yoter, Shkolzer, Torosu, Shal Yaakov. This is all the Torah of Yaakov. Sheheirim, Eskol, Inyonah, Vishus, and Madregos, Iloris, Kolkach. Okay, there's another concept going on here which we didn't really touch on. And that you can take everyday activities and turn them into Kabbalistic notions. Okay, so what's a bed in this world might mean something else than a Kabbalistic, represents some Kabbalistic idea, so on and so forth. So again, by thinking about what I'm doing in Kabbalistic terms, I change it into a service of Hashem. Okay, but time now, let's go to the Gemara, start a Chazara. Yoni, bring me a cup of hot water, please. Okay, well, time. We have 4 days for Chazara. During these 4 days, we have to do 4 Blas Gemara and 5 Tosfos. Okay? So, let's read the Gemara quickly. If you have a question, you'll ask me. Otherwise, I'm just reading through the Gemara very quickly. I'm not going to be translating it. I'm just reading it. If you have a problem, stop me. Then when we get to the Tosfos, I'll go to the Tosfos very carefully. Okay? Daf Kof Tes Amud Aleph, the Mishnah.
Ready?
Yes. No, you're just responsible for the simple shot. You can come into my office I'm going to pick out a little piece of Gemara on these four blocks and ask you to read it, and we'll see if you know how to read it, without our scroll, and just be able to read it from the Gemara. And then I'm also going to ask everybody a part of a Tosfos. So you get a piece of Gemara and a Tosfos, if you can read it properly, you get a good grade. If you can't read it, you won't get a good grade. That's just the way it is. And also we announced yesterday that after we finish this Chazar and the Bechina next Monday, we're going to be starting with the Neder. Next week, Tuesday, we'll be starting the topic of Hanukkah in the Sefer Shabbos. We'll sort of that a few stars out from Gemara over there, and we'll study Hanukkah for the balance of the term. And then the final exam, we're going to give you, final exam will be, part of it will be on the topic of Hanukkah, and the other part, the major part, will be on the Siva Shalom. I'll make a package of different, of excerpts of various things we read during the course of this term, the Siva Shalom, and that's going to be the bulk of the final exam, to review and know these various concepts and so forth. Yes?
What
was next term? For the balance of the term? Sefer Shabbos. Yeah. I'll throw this at it if you don't have a Gemara Shabbos. Daf Chav Tes. Mishnah. Kol mitzvah haben al ha'av. Kol mitzvah haben al ha'av. Anoshim chayovim v'noshim petuos. This is the Gemara explains, meaning mitzvahs for the benefit which the av has to do. Parents' mitzvahs are obligatory on the father, but not on the mother. And I gave a whole speech at the beginning of this month, for a couple of days, that it's because mothers do it anyway. They take care of their children anyway. They don't need a mitzvah. But fathers are busy people. So therefore Hashem has to give them a mitzvah in order to get them to do it. So that, but anyway, but technically, the father has to do the mitzvah, the bismillah, pidyon haben, Talmud Torah, help him get married, all these things, help the child grow up, develop, and do the mitzvahs which have to be done as a chiv of the father, not the mother. Kol mitzvah to av al haben, echad anoshim, echad noshim chayavim. On the reverse, mitzvah for the benefit of the father, which the son has to do, applies both for men and for women, in other words, both sons as well as daughters are obligated in the mitzvahs of taking care of the parents, kibbud av v'aim, yiras av v'aim, and otherwise. V'chol mitzvahs, I say, by the way, next term, we're going to start from where we stopped here because it's a fascinating topic, the topic of mitzvahs, I say, shas mandram and other mitzvahs, which we'll do next term. V'chol mitzvot aseh shazman grama anoshim chayavim v'noshim peturos. Mitzvot aseh which have to do with time, men chay, women potos. Chol mitzvot aseh shelo azman grama echad ho anoshim v'echad hanoshim chayavim. V'chol mitzvot lo saseh bein shazman grama bein shelo azman grama echad ho anoshim v'echad hanoshim chayavim. Chutz mibal takif ubal tashchis. There were three losases which women are exempted. Baal takif. There's a prohibition to cut off peyot tarosh. It's only an obligation for men. Women are allowed to shave their head bald. Men can't. Baal tashchis. To shave with a razor. Men are obligated, not allowed to use a razor on their beards. Women are permitted to use razors if they have hair on their face. And finally, the prohibition not to become tummy for mason or kohen. A kohen man is not allowed to become tummy to a dead body unless it's a relative, seven relatives. A woman, kohenes, can become tummy to any dead body. She doesn't have that level of kedusha, she has to stay away from a dead body. Okay. Gemara. My kol mitzvah haben al ha'av. What does it mean? The mitzvah of the ben al ha'av. The Gemara is a little confused at the beginning. Ilay makol mitzvahs de mechayiv b'ra Lemevet le'abba, does this mean mitzvah the son does for his father? That's not really makes sense. Nashim petuos, are women potter to do things for their father? V'asan, you learn the b'raisa, ish. It says in the pasuk, an ish should fear his parents. Ein li ela ish. Isha minayin, how do you know that the daughter should fear her parents? Kishu, and it says in the pasuk, ish imo v'aviv tira'u. You should fear. And tira'u is a plural. It means more than one. It means son and daughter. Harei kan shnayim. That means two. Sons and daughters, both sexes, have to fear parents. So, clearly the daughter has to take care of her parents. So how can we can't say that the Mishnah means women are pasur, that is they're the daughters they're pasur. Amar Rav Yehuda Yehuda says, Hachi kama, the Mishnah means like this, Kol mitzvahs haben, hamutalos al ha'av, la'asos, livno, anoshim chayavim, v'noshim peturos. Mitzvahs for the son's sake, which are comes upon the father to do for his son, the father, the men are obligated, the women, mothers are pater. In the heart of Rabbanon, it's a proof of what it says in the Braisa, Ha'av chayiv b'bino, l'mulo, l'vdoso, l'olam l'toro, l'asio isha, l'olam l'umnes, v'yesh omen afilo l'ashita b'mayim. The father has to teach the son, has to take care of his son, mila, pigeon a ben, teach Torah, get married, give him a trade, some say teach him how to swim. Rav Yehuda omer, kol she'enem olam des b'no umnes, melam do listus. If someone doesn't teach his son a trade, he teaches him to be a crook. Listus al kazaitach, if he really teaches him to be a crook, elaki ilu melam do listus. It's as if he taught him to be a crook. Because without a job, without a profession, he could become a gangster. Okay, now the Gemara goes through these different things. Lamulo, where does it say, how do we know, menolam, how do we know that it's the father's obligation to take care of his son's bris milah? The chsiv, Vayomal Avraham et Yitzchak b'no. You see, Avraham did it. Ve'echad lemole avua, where the father didn't do the bris milah for the baby, mechayve beidina lemimale. Then the bezdin should do it. The chsiv, himol lochem kol zocher. All of you should do the bris milah for the male children. It means the bezdin, the community. Vechad lamale beidina, the peasant didn't do the bris. Machayiv il lemimu nafshe, the child should do his own bris when he grows up. The chsiv says v'orel zoch asher lo yimol es pesar olo so v'nechusa. Any zocher who's not circumcised and didn't do the bris on his flesh will be cut off. He has a punishment of kares. I menolan lo machayiv. How do you know the women? Mothers don't have to take care of the babies with Mila. The Chsiv, Kasher, Tziva, Oso, Elohim. Avram did it the way God commanded him. Oso, the low Oso. He commanded, but not she, not the mother. Ashachon, Miyat. So now we know all of this we know from the time of Avram. The Doris Menol. And how do we know that the rules told Avram apply to all generations? Tanda Rebbe Shmuel. Komokim Shanem Atzav. Whenever it says tzav, it means to be very, very, very fast, do it, and it means you should take care of it in all generations. Zeruz, how do I know that it means to do things fast and with energy? Make a tzavah, command Yeshua, and he should be strong. It means he should have a lot of strength to do it. That's miyad, uledoros. How do you know that the word tzav means all generations do the same thing? Tziv min hayom ashtziv Hashem v'hala l'doros seichem. That day, God commanded you for all generations. So we see wherever it says the word tziva, it means for all generations. And since by bris milah it says, kasha tziva oso elokim, God gave him a tzavah, gave Avram a commandment, the commandment is for all generations. So the rules are the same. The rules are the father, the bezdin, the child himself, but not the mother. Livdoso, Menolan. How do I know that a father has to redeem his son, firstborn, at 30 days? Give 5 shkalim to a kohen. Tichsiv, the pasuk, kol b'chol b'necha tivde. You should redeem your firstborn son. Hech lepag de'avua. The father did not redeem him. Mechayiv il l'mifukei. He should redeem himself. Tchsiv Pado Sivda. You should redeem yourself. So it says the word Pado Sivda. The word Pado twice, that means you do it yourself. V'im enol lo miskado. How do I know that the mother doesn't have to redeem her son? Tchsiv, this is a little complicated Gemara. T'padze. It says that at 30 days old, he should be redeemed. And it also says, Tivze, you should redeem. So we say like this. Kol shem mitzuve livdos es atzmo, mitzuve livdos es acherim. When someone has the mitzvah to redeem themselves, in other words, a boy, he has a mitzvah to redeem others if he's a father. Kol she eino mitzuve livdos es atzmo. If he doesn't have the mitzvah to redeem himself, eino mitzuve livdos achem. He doesn't have to redeem others. How do we know that the girl doesn't have an obligation to redeem herself? Because it says tivdeh tipadeh. It says tivdeh, and you can also read that tipadeh. Redeem others, redeem yourself. So we say kol shachei mitzuvah livdoso, mitzuvah livdos es atzmo. If you have to redeem others, if others have to redeem him, he should redeem himself. Kol she'enachem mitzuvim livdo so, if others don't have to redeem him, ein mitzuvah livdo es atmo. He doesn't have to redeem himself. Umenayin she'enachem mitzuvim livdo so. How do you know that others don't have to redeem a baby girl? Damakra, kol b'chor b'necha tivzeh. B'necha v'lo b'nosecha. So it goes like this. The word tivzeh, the Chumash has the word pado tivzeh. So tivzeh, it can also be tipode, redeem yourself. Say tivde, redeem your child. Tipode, redeem yourself. Now we know that a baby girl, there's no mitzvah for her father to redeem her, because the pasuk says explicitly, b'char v'necha, your son, tivde, not daughters. Now we also now make a hekesh, tipode, tivde. If someone has to redeem the baby, when this baby grows up, she or he should redeem their child. So since baby boys have to be redeemed, therefore they have tipadeh, therefore when they grow up, boys, and become fathers, they have tivdeh. They redeem their children. But baby girls don't have the tipadeh. No one is supposed to redeem her. So she grows up and becomes a mother. She does not have the mitzvah of tivdeh to redeem her children. That's basically what it is. Tana Rabbana. The rabbis had the following discussion. Who lived those? Ubeno lived those. Let's say... Yes?
Sorry, the lesson is going to this, but then Tifte would have three separate units with?
No, it's the same pasuk. Rashi says, look at the Rashi. Tipadeh tivdeh. Klomar... Kri bay tipode. Make a kri. Where the Gemara knew that you should do a ksiv and a kri here, I doesn't say. But they had some kind of a tradition that even though when we read that pasuk, we say tivde, which means you should redeem your son. Tivde, redeem somebody else. But there's a drasha, instead of tivde, take that word and spell it tipode. Be redeemed yourself. And we make a hekesh between tivdeh and tipadeh. So the women don't have the tipadeh. They don't have to be redeemed themselves. Therefore, there's no tivdeh for them to do it to their baby.
But we learn that twice, because once we say if they're not pious to be redeemed, then they don't have to redeem themselves. And then we learn that from there also.
They don't have to redeem themselves. They don't have to redeem their babies. There's a double leap. First thing it is, if no one has to redeem them, because there's a baby girl, she doesn't have to redeem herself.
Right.
And then we say, if she doesn't have to redeem herself, she doesn't have to redeem her own baby boy.
Right.
So the Gemara works the drushas backwards. First the Gemara gives you the drusha about if she doesn't redeem herself, she doesn't have to redeem the baby boy. And then we say, how do you know she doesn't have to redeem herself? because her father doesn't have to redeem her, therefore she doesn't have to redeem herself. It's the same hekesh tip that he put it both times.
Wait, so how are you only have to pick from one hekesh?
Because you're just saying whoever has tipada has tibda. Whoever has tibda has tipada. It's the same drash. It's not a different drash. You're just saying the same word, tibda, tipada has to work in both directions. If there's a tipada, there's a tibda. There's a tibda, there's a tipada. So since a girl doesn't have tibda, because her father doesn't have to do it for her, she doesn't have tipada. And since she doesn't have tipada in herself, she doesn't have a tibda for her baby boy. That's what the Gemara says. It's a very hard Gemara to read. If I ask you to read this Gemara, you better know it. Okay? Because this is a hard Gemara. I'm not going to give you the very easy Gemara to read. That would be not fair to the others. If I go in there, it's not fair for me to give a hard Gemara to A and an easy Gemara to B. I have to give the difficult Gemara to everybody. This is a difficult Gemara. The Tivda, Tipada, what?
Well,
I can give all the easy ones. Right. Read the Mishnah. Get everyone to read the Mishnah. Okay, turn to my bonus. The next Gemara is also hard. Turn to my bonus. Who lived those? Who no lived those? A father has to make his own pidyon aben because his father never did it. And he has a son to be poser. And he only has 5 shkolim. Who should he spend the money on? Himself or his son? Which mitzvah first? Who could have lived no? He should take care of his own mitzvah first. That's what the Tanakhama said. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, B'no Kodmo, his son is first. Shezem mitzvah so al aviv, Shezem mitzvah b'no olav. This one has his mitzvah which was supposed to be done by his father, and now he's coming in late because his father didn't do it, so he has to do it himself. But it's fundamentally the mitzvah for the father. And in this case, the mitzvah of the son is on him. So, the father in this case, like this, really it should have been done by the grandfather. The grandfather should have redeemed the father. The grandfather never did that. And now the father has his own direct obligation to redeem his son, the grandchild. So we say that the mitzvah to redeem the grandchild is first, because the mitzvah of the father really should have been done by the grandfather. We'll see what this means. It's not such a... The idea is very, like, sort of, I guess, puzzling, what the views are saying. The Tanakhama's idea is good. If I take care of a mitzvah for myself versus taking care of someone else's mitzvah, do my own mitzvah first. So therefore, the father needs a pidyon aben, he should be posed himself before he's posed his son. But Yudas says no, because the father's mitzvah to redeem himself really started with the grandfather. The grandfather was supposed to do that and he failed. Therefore, let the father do his own son first. We see what that means. Amr Mimir says, Hakol Modin, everybody agrees. Kol Heicha Deleka Ela Chomesh Slime. If there's any time that there's only 5 slime, 5 of the silver coins. Who called them Livno? Definitely, everybody agrees that if the father only has here 5 shloim, he should definitely redeem himself before he does his son. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees. A person should take care of his own personal mitzvah, his own need, before he takes care of his son's need. So in pidyon aben for the father or the son, he does pidyon aben for the father first. That's everybody agrees. Yes?
If someone, like, I know that it says that everybody
would
respond as an exception, but even if someone, like, you know, somebody died,
somebody,
like, soon,
that's the Gemara says also, if 2 people are about to die, you can end up and. So therefore, Chayecha Kodman, a person should save himself before he saves his friend.
So even if someone's a
Treifa,
he has to redeem himself?
A Treifa, you're throwing in a curveball there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I have to do research. Okay, but in a simple situation, that's the rule. So, my timer, why is it that a person should redeem himself first? Mitzvah the Gufay Adifa. The mitzvah of his own body is superior. Kitzi. So, what's the machlokas? He has a whole completely different interpretation of the machlokas. Hecha de Ika Chamesh Mishubadim. For Chamesh the Nechon. Okay. There are five, this piece of land which is worth five tzlayim. This father inherited from the grandfather a piece of land worth five tzlayim. And this father has also, besides that piece of land worth five tzlayim, he has five tzlayim in his pocket. Coins. And this is all he owns. He has five tzlayim change in his pocket, and he has five piece of land, meshubad, which is, meshubad means it's mortgaged from the grandfather. There's a mortgage from the grandfather to give it to the kohen. Yeah, I like to work with Tosafot Shas. Okay, let's just see what's going on. Reb Yehuda Savar Milva I have to add another thing. I misread a little bit. Hecha de'ika chamesh mishubadim v'chamesh b'nei chamesh. There are five tzlayim worth of land which was sold. It's by a lokeach. The father doesn't have it anymore. It was sold off to a lokeach. And there are five that the father has in his pocket. So what did Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda said the father should send the five tzlayim for his child. So like this. Rabbi Yehuda sava milva dechsev b'tayra kechsuva b'shtar zamya. Rabbi Yehuda feels that if the Torah creates a debt, the Torah says you owe five tzlayim to a kohen, it has the same level obligation as if there was a note, as if it was written up in a contract. Now the rule is like this. Debt with contracts create mortgages, and people sell land, there's still a mortgage on the land because the debt was written down in a contract. That's the general rule of Meshubad, that a milva, in order to have a shibud, should be a milva b'shtar. So the thing is like this. This obligation to pay the Kohen the five tzlayim is a Torah obligation. No one made a contract. What kind of an obligation did the Torah create? Did the Torah create an obligation, a debt, to pay the five tzlayim, which is the ultimate debt? A debt as if it had a contract, and therefore it creates a mortgage. Therefore land sold are still mortgaged for this debt. So then like this, if the father sold off, the grandfather sold off land, it's mortgage to the Kohen, because the obligation to pay the five tzlayim to the Kohen, this is a milva of the Torah, like Rabbi Yehuda, has the same status of a milva in the shtar, of a milva with a contract, which means it creates a mortgage, creates a shibud. Therefore, the lokeach who bought the land has to give that land to the Kohen. And now the father has still five tzlayim in his pocket. He uses those five tzlayim to redeem his son. Inside the Gemara.
Does that mean that's right.
He bought a piece of land. He should have checked out to make sure there are no mortgages.
Well, you can go back to the person himself before that. And
well, usually there's what you call a guarantee on the sale that it's mortgage free. And usually they'll talk about that when they sell, that, you know, you're guaranteeing it's mortgage free. Let's say it turns out there is a mortgage, I can get my money back. So that's called achrayos, that there's a guarantee in the sale of the land that in terms of unknown or undisclosed mortgages.
Then we owe probably that person 5 stories.
Right, he can then go back and say, give me 5 stories because my
he
land
has
is.
The free, but then we have the free land.
The free 5 slime, you mean? Okay, it could get complicated. You're right. I mean, this is the kind of discussion which, you know, could be in the Tosfos or whatever, but we're not going into that level of discussion. We just, for the Bechina, we're just reading the Gemara simple. So, the simple Gemara is that if the milva of the Torah is a very powerful loan, it's an obligation which creates mortgages as if it was written into a contract. So then Rabbi Yehuda says the mortgaged land from the grandfather, let's say, should be spent for the pigeon of the father, and then the father should take 5 slides from his pocket for his son. Rabbi Yehuda saw the mortgage tziva b'torah kiksuba b'shtadamya bahani chomesh parak lebrei, with the 5 3 slides he redeems his son, v'azal kohen v'torah leila chomesh mishubadim l'didei. And the coin goes and forecloses on the 5 mishubadim for the father, for him, for this guy himself. Rabbanan Zabri, Rabbanan disagree. They say, Milva dechsiv baraisa, lav kiksuva b'shtar damya. A Torah obligation is not equal to an obligation with a contract. It's like an obligation without a contract. A loan without a contract does not produce mortgages, does not produce mishubadim. You can only collect that loan from the person who borrowed the money himself. It's a mover without a shtar, and therefore there's no shibud nechasim. So then the guy who bought the land won't have to pay for anybody. There's no shibud nechasim in this kind of an obligation, and therefore we're left with 5 tzlayim in the father's pocket, which he has to decide for himself or for his son. If what I want to say, you do it for yourself. Koch mitzvah degufei adif. Therefore, it's other mitzvah for himself. Okay. Tana Rabbana. Rabbis learn. Liftos es beno velalos l'regel. Let's say a guy has to make a choice between posing his son and going l'regel. Where should he spend his money? On the mitzvah pigeon and ben? The mitzvah, I remember we were very, very perturbed why the Gemara picks these two mitzvahs and tries to decide which one to do. But anyway, so what do you do? Poses b'no. V'achakach olah l'regel. If you have limited funding, you should spend it more on pigeon aven than going to Yerushalayim and bringing the carbon for the chag. There's a special mitzvah, shalish chomer b'shana yivar kol zechucha. 3 times a year to travel to Shlaim and bring a sacrifice on the holidays, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. But if it's a pigeon and ben expense, that comes first. And you may have to spend the money on a pigeon and ben and not have money for the mitzvah to go to Shlaim. If you don't, man, all of the regel. No, he says, go to the regel. V'achakach podes b'no. Shezu mitzvah overes. Shezu mitzvah shein overes. The mitzvah to go to Shlaim is a mitzvah which passes. It's a one-time opportunity. If you don't go Pesach, you lost it. Pigeon and ben, you can always do later. You can always do a few days later. Okay, it's better to do it on the 30th day, but is there such a big difference between doing it on the 30th or the 40th day? Not such a big difference. So he says, spend the money for all of that girl, and eventually you'll get other money, you'll do pigeon and ben later.
But you have to do
This is Bishlam Rabbi Yehuda Kitzak on the timer. Rabbi Yehuda, I understand. Do Aliyah L'Regel because it's a time-limited mitzvah. So what's an opportunity? It's an opportunity mitzvah. Mitzvah veris. The mitzvah goes away. Pidyon HaBen, Ein HaBen. It does not go away. So postpone the Pidyon HaBen. Why does the Rabbanon say, do the pidyon haben before you go to Yerushalayim for regel? Zamukot, every pasuk. Kol b'chol b'necha tivzeh, v'hodav, lo yiroh p'nei reikav. You should redeem every one of your firstborn sons, and then the pasuk says, don't come to my place in Yerushalayim empty-handed. So in the very same pasuk, in Shemos, it puts the pidyon haben at the beginning of the pasuk, and that's to be empty-handed in Yerushalayim, puts at the end of the pasuk. So now we know that which mitzvah comes first, Xeres HaKasuv, pidyon haben. I don't remember what we said, why pidyon haben is practiced more important than Xeres HaKasuv. What was the idea that we said?
Serving your family or
Hashem,
or
Hashem,
you do it.
Ah, that's a nice idea. Take care of the obligations to the family before the obligations to Hashem. So here the father has to take care of his son's mitzvah. Pidyon haben is before his own private mitzvah going to Yerushalayim. Very good. It's good. Tana Rabbanu. The rabbi said, Nayin Shem Hayu Lo Chamisha Banim Mechamesh Nashim Shechayev Livdos Kulan Talmud Lama Kol B'chol B'necha Tivze Shita V'peta Rechem Tala Rachmana. Obviously we have five wives and each wife gives firstborn, so you should redeem all five. What's the Kiddush? Ma'a the same Menelef B'chol B'chol B'nachla Ma'a Lahalon Reishis Ono Afkan Reishis Ono Kamashma. You might have said that the B'chol, that we should make a hekesh. The b'chor of pidyon haben is the same b'chor of inheritance. The b'chor of inheritance is from the firstborn of the father, gracious, oh no, his firstborn. Maybe the firstborn of pidyon haben should also be the father, besides peter recha. It should be a combination, the firstborn by the mother and the firstborn of the father, but not more than one. Just like you have a firstborn who gets a double Yerusha, only one firstborn gets a double Yerusha, I would say, only one firstborn of the father should have the pidyon haben, namely his firstborn. That's what it says in the Braisa, a chiddush. They forget about the father. We don't care at all about the firstborn of the father. The pidyon haben is directly related to the firstborn of the mother. So if a guy has five wives, for each of those wives, there could be a firstborn boy, and the same father has to make a pidyon haben five times because of each mother. What's this? Yes.
Just before we were talking about the Machlokes concerning the Yehuda and the Rama. So, Rav Yehuda said that when it comes, yes, we have to know that it's the Park Sudish Sarah, so he said that you should first redeem your son. And Rashi said, Sarah, this is not all of the Yehuda and Machlokes. So, isn't that a direct contradiction with the fact that a mitzvah be ruled by Bipa? I mean, which one comes first?
Is it
the snow?
Rabbi Yehuda says, the Kiyuho says that there's a Shibbet Nechassim. So, since there's a Shibbet Nechassim, the castle by the Lokeach is used to redeem the father, and then the five Slayim, which he has in his pocket, he uses to redeem the son. Only when there's a limited amount of money, only five slime, then you should take gufa. But if you can get from Kafka by Lokeach, let the Lokeach pay. This really touches with Kasha or Kasha. Why should we make the Lokeach pay? The terrorist is, the Lokeach bought the land. Who told him? He bought the land. There's a problem here because there are five slayim left by the father and his pocket. So that Lokev should say, listen, why should you take land? If the guy has money, so why should I pay with my land? So Tyson wants to say that maybe the land was specially designated by the grandfather. He made it a poker case, but specially designated as a special thing that even if there's money, you go to the land. the Tosfos suggests. Okay, we go on. The Lamda Torah. Father must teach us our Torah. Menolam. The Siv Lamadatem Osam Ez Benechet. The Hechad La Agmari Avua. Machayev Iu Ligmei Nashe. He has to teach himself. How do we know that? The Siv. Because it says in the Pasuk, U Lamadatem. It's a different Pasuk. Rashi says, the Siv U Lamadatem Korachinu. Lamadatem osam, shmatem las osam. She says you should study Torah, lamadatem. Okay. Right. We don't, it doesn't say any place in this Gemara that the obligation of the father to teach his son Torah stops at bar mitzvah. It doesn't say. No. It goes on. You can be 17, the child is 50, so I'm going to study Torah. How do I know that the mother doesn't have the obligation to teach her son Torah? Now again, the same thing. We have these two words, v'li madatam and u'le madatam. Li madatam means teach your son. Lamadatem means learn yourself. So we compare this, but it's very similar spell, right? And the Chumash, I don't know if there's, I think they're spelled exactly the same way. So, just pronounce differently. One place you pronounce it Lamadatem, which means teach. The other place you pronounce it Lamadatem, which means study. But because they're written the same way, so it's, there's what you call Gzereshav. You can take a word here and a word there, and you compare the two. So now we say like this. You get the same kind of a thing. Kol shem mitzuveh l'lmod, mitzuveh l'lamed. Whoever has to study Torah themselves should teach. Kol she'enem mitzuveh l'lmod, whoever doesn't have to study, enem mitzuveh l'lamed, doesn't have to teach the child. V'i menon l'machayva l'melef nasha. Where do we know that the mother or girl doesn't have to teach Torah to herself? Dechsev, it says, limadatem ulamadatem. You should teach and you should learn. Kol shachay mitzuvim lelamdo, mitzuvah lelamed et atmo. When someone has to teach you, you have to teach yourself. Kol shachay mitzuvim lelamdo, someone doesn't have to teach you, ein mitzuvah lelamed et atmo. So to teach yourself. Menayin. She'en achei mitzuvim lelamdo. How do you know people don't have to teach her? The makro. Ma'atim osam es b'neichem v'lo b'nosteichem. So b'neichem is another telling this. It says, limadatem, limadatem. So I say, teaching is the same as learning. So we know like this. A girl, there's no mitzvah to teach a girl. It says, limadatem osam es b'neichem. B'neichem of mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to teach a girl. This is no mitzvah to for her parents to teach her. There's no limadatem for her. On her as a child, she doesn't have a limadatem. She should teach herself. Since she doesn't have the limadatem to teach herself, she doesn't have the limadatem to teach her son. So her father doesn't have to teach her. She doesn't have to teach herself. She doesn't have to teach her son. This is how we know the women are excluded from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Learning or teaching. Now, of course, we spend time, a lot of time, why we don't take this Gemara literally. First of all, women have to study Torah. First of all, women have to study Torah in order to know the dinim of the mitzvahs. No one said women doesn't have to know the laws of Shabbos. How is she supposed to know the laws of Shabbos if she doesn't study the Torah about Shabbos? And so, therefore, all the los assays, 365 los assays. Women have the same los assays as men, except for three. The Mishnah says there were three. So if women have 365 los assays, how is she supposed to know what to do? How does she have to study the Torah? Mitzvah say, there's only, I don't know, how many mitzvahs say a time? Shazman, a dozen? They're blowing shofar, sitting in the sukkah, but meanwhile, there's at least 200 mitzvahs, I say, which have nothing to do with time. Women have to do that. How is she supposed to know what to do? She doesn't study the Torah. So therefore, women have to study Torah in order to do the mitzvahs that they're obligated to do. That's what all the poskim say. When the Gemara is talking about that women are not involved in Talmud Torah, what kind of Talmud Torah does the Gemara talk about? Talmud Torah for its own sake. There are people who study things just for Torah Lishma. Let's say people study certain things which have nothing, it's not practical. Right? I don't know. This yeshiva would try to take some sectors which are practical, that's why. But you might study Masechta Ye'ila, someone stealing from goods from the Beis HaMikdash. It's not relevant nowadays, there's no Beis HaMikdash. Another Masechta which is not very relevant. Let's say Tumah Tahara doesn't exist. We don't do Tumah Tahara nowadays. Everybody's Tomei, we don't pay attention to it. So let's say Masechta, there's a Masechta Negayim. A Masechta which talks about all the different kinds of Tzaraas, different colors and so on. So why are you studying it? There's no Tzaraas anymore. It's just Droshu Kabel Tzchar. You study it because it gets reward for studying God's Torah, whether you use it or not. So that kind of studying, Torah Lishma, is not obligatory on women, not as a child, not as an adult, not for her own sake, not for her children's sake. It's not her, not her agenda. But Torah manas lasos, lumad manas lasos, 362, los asay, 200 plus asay. Of course, women have to study the Torah. Aren't they supposed to do what they're supposed to do? You can't. An ignorant person can't know what to do a mitzvah properly. An ignorant person is going to make a fundamental mistake left and right. Therefore, any mitzvah, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of mitzvahs which women have to know. And they must know it well in order to do it properly. So that's why there's no such thing as saying women don't have to study. They have a lot to study. The only difference is something esoteric. Laws of Tum and Tahara, so you learn it without any practical reason, that men also should do, and women don't have to do that. That's all poskim say, that's what the Gemara meant. The Gemara Chas V'Shalom never meant that women should grow up to be ignoramuses and not know how to keep the mitzvahs. Yes?
Do women have a concept of Lishma?
A woman can do things with Lishma as a volunteer, she's not obligated. You and I, we're all obligated as men to study Torah Lishma. In other words, we have an obligation, besides studying all the practical parts of the Torah, even the impractical and esoteric, we have the obligation to study. We're men. We have to know all of Torah, even the impractical, strange and secret, funny parts. Women don't have to study the foreign, impractical areas. They have to do only the facts clearly. That's what the post can say.
Well, I was thinking about that, because I figured out a higher order than the Shema, in any sense. You would have the same order?
Absolutely. If the Shem, Komasech, Yilu, Shem, Shemayim, women have the same obligations as men. If God gave the Torah to Am Yisrael, he said, Kotom, Olivet, Yaakov, Sagav, Nei, Yisrael. Speak to the women and the men. The Ten Commandments, women were there. They're the same revelation as the men. And counting, only count as the men, because that's soldiers. Soldiers, only men. Women don't go to the army. Yes, Yaakov, you want to ask me something? Yaakov?
No.
I thought you had your hands up. Okay, let's go on. Yes, my turn.
I don't. How could there be something that's impractical in Torah?
Tum and
Tahara. Tzaraas. I didn't know.
The gun. There's no tzaraas. Tzaraas stops. The Gemara says.
I don't
know if
you can say that today it's impractical, but it's really it's not like impractical, though.
Oh, one day there'll be a base of Migdal, there'll be Mashiach. That's why I say
more,
follows.
More
my personal opinion is follows that, for example, Tum and Tahara. Tumen Tahara nowadays is totally impractical because no one, it doesn't affect anything, any place, anywhere, because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash where Tumen Tahara is critically important, because you cannot go to the Beis HaMikdash if you're Tumen. If you do, you're Chayav Kares. And the Tumen Tahara are very important for eating Truma, for Kohanim, because if they're Tumen, they can't eat the Truma. So it's a very, today, it's called Esoteric, Torah Lishma. But the minute there'll be a Beis HaMikdash, it'll be the most important part of the practical Torah, because you won't be able to go into Yerushalayim if you're Tomei. Certain kinds of Tumah you have to stay out of Yerushalayim. Other Tumah you can go into Yerushalayim, but you're not allowed to go onto the Har HaBayis. Other Tumah you can go into the Har HaBayis, you can't go into the Hazara. Tumah and Tahara, you won't be able to touch Tumah, because you make the Tumah Tomei, it's a Nisra Deraisa. The whole world is going to change when the Beis HaMikdash comes. Tumah and Tahara become just as important as Shabbos. As important as Shabbos will be the laws of Tumah and Tahara.
Should we wait for the Beis HaMikdash to come, or are we just going to learn them in a second and then everything's going to be fine, or are people...
Yeah.
That's why my personal opinion is, Noach, I agree with your suggestion. If it was up to me, I would make part of every Yeshiva Katana, from second grade curriculum, everybody should study the laws of Tumah and Tahara, because Meheri Yevon and Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaMikdash we expect to be built very quickly, and we want to know how to deal with it, because we have to know the laws of Tumah and Tahara. Tumah and Tahara is a huge thing. When you go into Yerushalayim, and they show you sometimes the archaeology of Yerushalayim, they show you how the city was built architecturally to help the Jews deal with Tumah and Tahara. Do you know that the whole city of Yerushalayim is basically built on hollow archways below the ground? When they laid a street, they would build below the street, they would build an arch to have under the ground a tent to stop the Tumah's mess from rising, because they get trapped in the tent. So they would build concrete. The street level is straight, but it's sitting on top of hundreds of arches. What is the purpose of these arches under the street? To create space to trap the Tumah's mess, because otherwise Tumah's mess goes straight up to Rakia, goes straight up. And a Kohen is not allowed to walk on a mess. And if you walk on a mess, you can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, your tummy. So in order to prevent, there may have been unknown bodies that even the Knanim buried under the ground of the Yerushalayim. So in order to prevent all of this, they made thousands of small archways where they made a street. They would put underneath the street arches to create space, which makes the trap the Tumah's mess in the Ohel. The Tumah's mess can't get out of the Ohel. You see, it's an amazing thing. A whole city is built according to the laws of Tumah and Tahara. And you go through the architecture of the old city of Jerusalem, and they show you that every single house that they've uncovered, there is a mikvah. Because if you had a mikvah is more important than a shower and a bathtub. They didn't have toilets. But in the houses, they had outhouses. But they had a mikvah in the house. Why? Because if you're in the house, you have truma food. You have to be tar when you touch the food, otherwise you're violating an issa deraisa of making truma tummy. So therefore, every Jew had to be tar at all times, just to be able to navigate the streets and the foodstuffs of Jerusalem. Therefore, every house in Jerusalem has a mikvah. Rabotai, we have no concept what it meant to be a Jew in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. You don't know what it meant. You were continuously absorbed with the problem of staying tahor and not becoming tamei. Because if you're tamei, you can't even touch fruits and vegetables, because you're making them tamei, and it's of truma. How did I get into this topic? Oh, because we said that Tumah and Tahara is very practical when there's a Beis HaMikdash. So women, and I'll tell you even better, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the women knew Tumah and Tahara better than the men. Because they're in the house all the time. And also they have Tumas Nida. They have to be very, very up on all the laws of Tumah and Tahara. Okay, we go on. Go on, guys. Tanah Rabbanan. Who lil knows? Who no lil knows? Who call him lil no? We have Yudah Omer. Ibn Ozarid. Memulach. Talmudah Miskayim B'yado. Beno Kozmo. God who have Yaakov B'reid who have Achav B'yakov. Shad B'yavu L'kamad Abayah. Ki Asa. Chazid the Lohavim Mechadid Ben Shmatei. He saw he didn't know. He wasn't learning well in yeshiva. Amalei, Ano Adifa Menach. Tuv At, the Ezel Ano. Shama Abaye the Kohava Asi. Havu Mazik Be'rabanan Dabaya. The Kohava Ayla Betrayin, Afula Be'yamam, Havu Mitzaki. Amalu Lalaitim Le'inish Ushpiza. Efshet the Mitzrachish Nisa. All bus behu bei rabbanon. Id malek hasanina de shiva reish vasei. Kol kriyo de chora nasa chad reishe. Amar hu lemocha. Ilo tzrachish nisa sakanisin. So there was this terrible the demon in the yeshiva that was attacking all the students. So they made Rav Acha sleep there, and he prayed, and every time he bowed down, one of the heads of the seven heads of the demon fell off, and he survived. And he said, he was a little bit upset, he said, you guys put me in danger, I needed a miracle to survive. Yeah?
What are listeners? I want to ask you, if you made a case for the advantages and the Buddha's one fact is, in the Nazaris, then the spiritual person.
Right.
So
we pass him like that too.
Right. So he's very good at adding.
No, I think he's adding something.
The last three cases we've got to be good in the same exact pattern. We disagree.
Right. But I don't know. The Rama passes like the Yehuda.
Right. That's why I'm asking.
How does he know?
We're talking with the
Yehuda, but I'm just wondering. How does the Rambam know it's not in my focus?
Right. Does the Rabbanan say that even if the Noah is already so stolen, blessed, or dead,
I don't know, but Shiloh. But Shiloh. I want to do more research.
Because also the Gemara seems to go like that. Also, not only the book of Rambam, because the case in the Gemara was probably that
the case of the story in the Gemara, I think that's why the Rambam passes. The story in the Gemara is like Rabbi Yehuda.
Friend,
the Bible
doesn't seem to say it's wrong.
Right. That's true that Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda is explaining the Rabbanim.
Right. It seems strange. It's the same formula as like.
Right. Okay, now, Tanah Rabbanan. We're almost up to the Tosfos. Tanah Rabbanan, Lo Motor Velisa Isha. Yom Motera V'Achkach Yisa Isha. It's a very important halacha for us nowadays. Because getting married can have a very profound effect upon the Talmud Torah. Because it involves financial obligations and so on. So because it's such a tremendous impact on Talmud Torah, so we say the Talmud Torah is first and then married. Don't trust young boys to get married and learn after marriage. You say young boys, better let them study Torah and then get married. Those days, young boys were 13 years old and so on. Someone later on said getting married 16, 18. Nowadays, we say young boy, a really young man, already 19, 20. We also say, learn Torah and get married later. But it's up to you. If you feel that you can handle it, so of course you should get married because you can do it. The Gemara says, if a person says, I can't take this, I have to get married. Yisa Isha. He'll get married, have a good wife, and he'll learn Torah afterwards. Even though as a general policy, the policy would say, be safe, study Torah first, and then get married. But if a person feels he wants to get married, even though he's young, and he doesn't think it's hard to be hard financially, but he needs it, it's a psychological, emotional need, so he should get married and learn Torah later. And because of this, of course, all the kollelim developed in America and in Israel tell people study Torah after they get married. Yes?
But isn't it interesting, even if it's an emotional, psychological, physical need, isn't it interesting to get married before, let's say, you're ready financially, because financial reasons can always like override any other reasons later on. It might
financial is important, but it's not the most important. Consideration.
His
parents will help him.
So
the Kolo, go to the Kolo. Kolo will help. So it goes to work. What's the problem? Why is it such a tragedy to work? Working is good. The emotional psychological need is number one.
Okay.
The person has to be happy. That's number one. So if a person can be happy in the base of Medrash, learning Torah with his friends, so that's why he should do that, because it'll be easier for him to. But if he's not, he should get happy to get himself a good wife.
So would she have married now at 16 because her puberty is very bad age?
It's all up to the person. It depends on his emotional stability and his needs. The way the culture is set up here in America, it's only after 18 that we feel that a person can do it. But I hear that now in Israel they're starting younger and younger marriages. The Hasidim, by the way, there are even today in America many Hasidim. There is a certain element of Hasidim that the boy gets married at 16. You hear it? 16-year-old getting married.
The boy gets married at 16?
Boy 16. The girl could be 15.
What?
16. Yeah. Not only Hasidim. My daughter is a senior in high school, and she's 17, and she told me that one of her classmates became now a kollel. Senior in high school.
With permission of your parents.
What do you mean 16 is allowed with permission of your parents?
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I think anything else.
But at 13, with permission of your parents, you get married?
I'm not sure if you can talk about it, but I think you can get.
It's coming back. Younger marriages are coming back amongst Muslim Jews. Definitely coming back. Now, unfortunately, in the modern Jewish so-called, I hate the term, modern Orthodox, but just for lack of another term, in the so-called, miscalled, modern Orthodox community, people are getting married later. That's a tragedy. They're getting married now in the high 20s.
But
they have to do their graduate work and live college and graduate work, and they spend a couple of years in Israel, so by the time they turn around, they're 26. This is an unfortunate development. I don't know if we can change it, but it's a rare. The Hasidim don't go to college, and they don't have. They don't go to Israel for 2 years to learn. So they get married at 16, 17, 18, 20, 20 late. And here we're stretching it out to 20. It used to be 23, 24, 25, now it's already 26, 27. I don't know if this is such a, okay, you know, you can claim, well, lifespan has extended also. We used to have the average lifespan 65, 70. Today the average lifespan is 75, 80. So we're living 10 years longer, so you can get married 5 years later. All right, it's an argument.
Technically, having
yeah.
children.
What's the problem with waiting until you're 26, 27, 30?
The problem is that there's a psychological cost that the single person pays. He or she are unhappy. That's it. Yes.
This is a famous software and knowledge applicants.
Yeah.
Somebody, they say that if you're married at 19, 20, leave it. They love it, so you get married at 24.
Really?
But that's because.
Babbage is late.
Yeah, well, it's very good because knowledge, they go on different, you know, like
projects
and the first year goes pretty good, like second year, you know, sneak up. Right. Then when 24, 25, they get married. But
it's not
much
of
that, so that's what
they're very earlier. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, let's go back to two different approaches. The Gemara itself says that you should learn first. If you can do that, get married later. Match, get married right away. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Now we're getting almost up to the toast. Tana Rabbanan. Lilmatov Lisa Isha. Yilmatov Akach Isa Isha. Imi efshel lo v'lo ishi se isha agach im tzoros. Amei vidah meshmuel. Halacha. No se isha v'achar kach yil matzoros. He says marry very young. Before. Rabbi Yochanan amar v'chaim b'tzavoro v'yasek b'tzoro. If he has v'chaim a millstone on his neck, grinding stone, can he study Torah? How do you tell him to get married first? Locally, Tana Machlokes, Holon Bahalahu, us versus them. Holon Bahalahu, us versus them. Because this is Shmuel and Yav Yochanan. Shmuel was living in Bavel, and Yav Yochanan was living in Eretz Yisrael. So, one of them said, Shmuel said marriage first, Torah later. Yav Yochanan said Torah first and marriage later. One is talking about Israel, one's talking about Bavel. So who says what? Let's see the Tosfos. Let's see the Rashi. Halon halu Rashi. The name Bavel, Hayahochim v'gosim mishnayis hatanoim v'eretz Yisrael. V'toch shalom dem chutzlim komam, ein tzoch habayis mutolim olav. Nota isha, dahava v'lo hiru, achakachol evo metor. Says the people in Bavel used to go to Eretz Yisrael to study Mishnayos because the Tanoim were in Eretz Yisrael. So for them it's better to get married first because he gets married, leaves his wife in Bavel, let her parents take care of her. Meanwhile he's married, doesn't have her hurim, he doesn't have to think about it. He knows he has a wife, she's waiting for him back in Bavel. And he can go to Eretz Yisrael and study. He doesn't have any obligations because he abandoned his wife, she's in Bavel. Rashi thinks it's worth something to know you have someone waiting for you, right? Lahu, the bnei eretz Yisrael, Rashi, the bnei eretz Yisrael halom dem bim komam in no se isha yehi tzach abayit mitolam olam in ratlu. But Israelis, they're staying and learning in Israel. If they have a wife, right there, the wife will make them get busy with little toes. Rashi. That's how Rashi works. Let's see the Tosfos. Pirish Bekutris, reading the Tosfos, V'nei Bavel ha-yuholchim v'gosim mishnayit ha-tanoim b'eretz Yisrael. V'tov shalom dim chutzlim komam ein tzoch e'bayis mutl aleim. No se isha. Zahavalei below hirur. Z'achar kach lo meitzor. Holohu. The bnei eretz Yisrael alam the mimkomam im no se isha yei kol tzoch abayit mutolim olav v'yirat lu. For kashlo bein mutam the mashma from Rashi it appears the kama shmur the no se isha tchila. By the way, as I'm reading the Tosfos, you should be marking up where I pause. This way you'll be able to do it yourself. For kashlo bein mutam, I pause by Rabbeinu Tam. Put a little mark there. The mashma the kama Shmuel the note isha tchila pause k'day lios below him. Shmuel said marry a wife first in order to avoid bad thoughts. fast goods. Mukalo lemilsa lebnei baga. And now Rashi explains that his statement is referring to the bnei baga. Him came, if that's so. Akati ikra hiror, there's still going to be bad thoughts. He's not going to be happy leaving his wife back in Babel and traveling to Israel. Since they're going to study outside their place, the wife is staying in Babel, they go to Israel. How is that solving the problem of having bad thoughts? How can Rashi suggest such a thing? For Otasha, another problem. Acha should not say Isha, if he's, after he marries a woman, Eich yotzal lechutzlim komo lumo. How can he leave her and go someplace else to learn? Halo hutzorach lavza acha mezaynes ishto ubana. He has to take care of his wife's needs and his children to have food. He has to go and work, produce funding. How can he go off to the yeshiva in Israel and learn and leave his wife behind in Babel? What's taking, who's supporting them? In the first peg of Gittin, Ashachon the Sholach Rebbe Yosef, we find that Rebbe Yosef sent a message. B'nei Adam Haboim Yisham Lekan, Jews who leave Babel and come to Israel to study Torah and leave their wives and children behind, Hey Mekaimim Ba'atma, they are fulfilling themselves. A verse, Vayitnu Es Hayeled Bezona, they're making their sons into prostitutes. Vetayal demachu b'yayim, and they sold their daughters for wine. Pirish nim shetzvichim banav ubenaitav les mashkin. His sons and daughters will have to go and borrow money. Bavum is on the tzayim in order to get food. So he's very against this. Mashma seems shein osim yofer. They're not doing good when they go study outside their homes of residence. So how can Rashi say that this is what Shmuel recommended, that the Jews in Babel should get married, leave their wives in Babel, go off and learn in Eretz Yisrael? It's against the basic responsibility for a husband to provide for his wife's children's hanasa. Al-Kain, Nirul Rabbein Mutam Ibcha. Therefore Rabbein Mutam said it's the reverse shot. The Rebbe Yochanan, the Amar Rechaim, the Tzavar, the Yasin, the Torah. Rebbe Yochanan said, how can you have a yoke on your neck and study Torah? So he said, study Torah first. Libnei Bavel Diber. He's talking about the people from Bavel. She'ein the Yochal Aniach Ishtar Yelachim and Torah. He's not allowed to abandon his wife and learn Torah. He wants to go to Israel to study Torah. He should come as a single person. Not to get married, because if he gets married, he's going to be stuck in Babel to take care of his wife and children. If he wants to go learn Torah in Israel, go as a single fellow. Don't go married. Ve'ot sheheim aniyim. Also, the people in Babel are poor. Therefore, it's better to study Torah first. If you're from Babel, it's better to study Torah first before you take on the responsibilities of being married. Shmuel, the Amar Nasi Isha Tchila. Shmuel though said, not like Rabbi Yochanan, he said, marry first, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael Amar. He's talking to the local Israelis who don't travel away. They can study Torah in Israel where they live with their wives. V'gam hei mashirin, and they're very wealthy, the Israelis. It's Tov Loi, Sheyisa Isha, Imater Bekara. Better he should marry a woman and study Torah in purity. So that, he says, the opposite. That if it's a student who's traveling to another country, he should be single. But if he's not traveling, he's staying in Israel, he's a local Israeli fellow, Israel has more money than Babel, he should get married and then study Torah because he can afford it. Miu ha'amim shegam b'nei eretz Yisrael ha'yotzim chutzlim komam le'Babel l'matar. It is true that sometimes Israelis left Israel to go to Babel to study Torah. But most of them used to stay in Israel and study there. The Ein Tamer, it's not a question. In Shmuel Shoyim Ibnei Babel, demurah the bnei eretz Israel. You can't ask a question. Shmuel himself lived in Babel. Why are you telling a teaching to the people living in Israel? You know, he's telling the people in Israel, marry first. Shmuel was living in Babel. Who was he talking to? Shahayu lefanav, tell me the man Israel. We had students who came to the man Israel. Shayim adabalan, he told them what they should do. Rabbi Yochanan, apathy shayim eretz Israel. Hayim adabal, tell me the mishalafanav in Babel. Rabbi Yochanan, who lived in Eretz, even though lived in Eretz Israel, he was telling the Tamil of Babel what they should do. That they should first study Torah before they get married. Okay, we stop here in the Tosfos. That's all you have to know. Still here. I think it's the Tosfos reads very easily. It's not a difficult Tosfos.
Well,
just the my focus is Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Yes. Any questions? Okay. Okay, Botai. This is today's Chazor. B'li Nedar. Tomorrow we'll continue Chazor. The next class, and we have a Tosfos. Lamed Amud Aleph. Aleph Gam Gam B'Tomelo. Plus, tomorrow, the people will tell me the three reasons of your project. Shimshon, Matan, Ellie.